Amen. Come on, give God a hand if you're ready to go all in. We are in the summer, have been going through a series called All In. If this is your first time here, it's been an incredible series. This God is challenging us what it means to go all in for Him. We made the statement that it's not a risk when you go all in for Jesus. That when we make that statement all in, sometimes we think of it, risk is entitled to that. And there is some small risk. Obviously, you can be have people misunderstand you. You can have people persecute you because they don't understand your commitment to go all in for Jesus. But really, it's the safest bet for your life is to say, God, I'm giving you everything I am. I'm giving you all of my family. I'm giving you all of my life. I'm giving you all of who I am. Learning to love the Lord with all of our mind, our heart, our soul, and our spirit, everything within us, and learning to love the Lord, love Him with all of our heart, but also loving our neighbor as ourself, battling that selfish spirit. And it's been a great series, but I realized one thing today, that I used to get upset over some of the dumbest things. Thank you, honey, for that amen. Come on, don't act like I'm the only one. I used to get upset over some of the things that were just not important. I used to let things upset me that really didn't matter. Have you ever been there? And the older I get, the more I realize that, man, I let some small things bother me that really shouldn't bother me. I remember there was a time in my life where if my team lost, I had a hard time preaching the next Sunday. I know, how immature is that, you know? I would get so emotionally upset and tied into my game because I like to win. I like the taste of the glory. I like to see what it feels like. You know what I'm saying? I love the win, and competition is, I love it. But, you know, when it comes down to it, my team's going to win and it's going to lose. And sometimes they lose a lot more than I like them to. And so I why lose any sleep? Yeah, I don't mind being passionate and I don't mind being upset. But, you know, tomorrow's a new day, right? Tomorrow's a new day, and we get so upset over small things. You know, when you first have children, you get upset over small things. You know, the house isn't kept the way it should be, and you know, you have one child, and then by the time you have two or three, you realize, you know, just relax. It's never going to be perfect. And you just have to learn sometimes to reevaluate your life and realize some of the things we're putting as important really aren't that important. And I learned this principle from the fact that I've done so many funerals in my life as a pastor. Over 20 years of ministry, I've done a lot of funerals. And I've had a chance to visit with some people on their deathbed. And I've never had one person tell me, boy, pastor, I wish I would have kept the house a little cleaner. I wish I would have worked another job. I wish I would have, you know, but everything comes down to the same thing. I wish I'd have made the most important things the most important things. Things of God in my life, my family, my children. I wish I'd have spent more time in prioritizing my life for the things that really matter. And today I'm realizing in myself that the older I get, that I've got to devote my time, my energy, my investment to the things that really are going to matter in the course of life is the kingdom of God. Let's be honest. Other things are going to fade, away, right? Houses and cars, these things will rust, they'll fall apart, they'll devalue over time. And, you know, we work all of our life trying to accumulate these things. And when you die, your kids are going to fight over them. They're going to have a big estate sale. They're going to split the money and go to Hawaii. They're going to blow through that money within a year, and it's all going to be gone. And we put all of our energy into the wrong things. I believe today the thing that we can put our energy into that will make a difference is the kingdom of God. And there's nothing wrong with planning for your future. You know I'm not against that. The wise man does that. The wise man plans for his future. And there's nothing wrong with passing things on in an inheritance to your children. That's not what I'm against. But what I'm telling you is this. Let's make sure that we're keeping the things that matter most or the most important should be the things that get our most attention and energy. It should be the things that we're prioritizing most. And going all in is reevaluating that and saying, I want to be a person who puts back into priority the kingdom of God first in my life. I know when I'm growing spiritually, and I know when I'm being stagnant. And so do you. I don't need anybody to tell me I'm not growing. I can sense in my spirit, I can sense when I'm not growing, and so can you. And I can sense when I'm growing stagnant. It's up to me. You know, many times I know people who say, well, I'm not growing spiritually, so I guess I better change churches because, man, I'm not growing spiritually right now. No, it's not that. It's that you're not putting the kingdom of God a priority. Now, there is times to change, and I know sometimes we can be under the same teaching over and over again, and there's some leaderships that have a book of sermons, and they preach the same sermons every year, and they haven't never gotten anything new from the Lord, so I can understand growing stagnant under that. But what I'm talking about is that we sometimes want to blame everybody else when we are not growing. It's easy to blame, oh, the pastor's not feeding me, or I'm not getting anything out of worship, or I'm not getting anything anymore. It's easy to blame that than it is to say, what am I doing? What am I doing to keep myself from growing? And maybe, and probably more than ever, we look at ourselves and say, I've got to get back to putting the kingdom of God first in my life if I want to grow. I'm not going to grow unless I'm going all in. You know, the scripture talks about the good shepherd and the sheep. And it says that the good shepherd will leave the 99 good sheep who are going forward, and he'll chase and look and search for the one sheep who's went astray. And I wonder in our life, how many of us that we've been the one sheep? How many of us have been the one sheep in our life that we're always the one who leaves? We're always the one that people have to go chase after and bring back in. And going all in says this. Going all in says, I'm tired of always being the one. I want to go all in and say, let's go forward together. Let's stop being the one who's always wandering off, slowing momentum down. And let's say, let's go all in and together let's move forward. Let's go all in. Let's encourage. Let's invest in the kingdom of God. Quit being the one who's always going astray. No, get in the pack and move on. Let's go, baby. Let's go. I want to motivate you today to say, I'm ready to go all in. I'm tired of being the one who's always astray. See, going all in says, let's go. Let's grow. Let's invest our lives for the kingdom. Let's hold nothing back for God. Let's give all of our life for God. Going all in holds nothing back. Colossians 3:17, look what it says. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, how we speak, our actions, look what it says, do it all in, right? We should go all in. He says, whether it's word or deed, we should go all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. Jesus went all in for us, didn't he? He came, he left the right hand of the Father. He came to earth, born of the Virgin Mary, grew up, worked, walked on this earth in our shoes. He went through ridicules. He went through pain. He went through suffering. He went through the beating. He went through the crucifixion. He died for us. He went to death, hell, and the grave, brought back the keys, was resurrected for us. He came back for 40 days and showed himself to his disciples and followers and showed himself, gave instructions on what to do. He ascended to heaven and says, I'm going away and I'm coming back for us. Jesus went all in for us, right? Look at this statement today. Very simple, but I believe it's very true. We need to get this in our heart. Jesus went all in for us so that we could go all in for him. Jesus went all in for us so that we could go all in for him. He's not asking us to do anything he hasn't done himself. Jesus didn't go all in for us to live our life a slave to our past, a slave to sin, a slave to depression, a slave to fear. No, he gave his life and went all in that you and I could experience freedom in Christ. We could walk in the knowledge of his grace and be set free to live our life free for Him, investing our life for the things that matter, and that's the kingdom of God. The things that will have an eternal, lasting investment. Eternity, the only thing that will last, the stand of time, is the kingdom of God. Everything else will fade. Everything else will rust and decay. Everything else will be a flash in the pan compared to eternity. So let's talk about it. How do we go in? I want to talk to you today about going all in every day. I want to talk to you about going all in every day, not just on Sunday. Because we've been really good about going all in on Sunday, right? I'm going to get my Jesus on. Yeah. We've learned how to go all in on Sunday, but people who learn to go all in, learn to go all in on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's starting to live this thing out, not just on Sunday, but learning to go all in every day. I want to talk to you about that thought. How do we do that? First of all, Psalms 39, 4 through 5 says it like this. Lord, remind me of how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. I love what David writes there. He says, remind me how brief my time is. I can tell you the older I get, the more I realize this. You know, we used to feel so invincible, didn't we? But now that I'm almost at my halfway point, I'm not there yet because I'm going to live to be 120 probably. But other than that, as I'm getting closer to that life, I continue to realize how brief our time here on earth is. All of what Moses says, you know, Moses wrote two of the Psalms, and one of them was chapter 90 in Psalms. Let's read that, verse 12. Moses says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. He says the wise person, part of wisdom is learning that our days are numbered, that we have to make the most of them. We have to make the most out of our days. What are we doing with our life? What are we doing to make the investment for eternity? I was sitting at a table yesterday, me and my son. I posted this on social media yesterday, and somebody get a kick out of it. Yesterday, me and my son stopped at the steakhouse, Japanese steakhouse, and they put us at a table with a bunch of people, you know. Hey, how you doing? I don't know you. Okay. So we all, you know, you go to the hibachi table and you sit down with a bunch of strangers. Well, we're sitting down with a bunch of strangers having a meal, and some of these couple of girls that were sitting across from the table from us, they were talking to themselves. They looked to be about maybe 21, if I'm just guessing their age. And one of them looks at the other one they're talking, and she's like, you know. She goes, I have just got to be married by the time I'm 30 because life just goes downhill from there. Me and Hayden look at each other like, just roll our eyes like, wow, this is going to be a long meal, you know. And I'm trying to keep from laughing as I'm trying to eat my soup and, you know, spray it out. I'm like, lady, you don't have no idea, you know. But it's one of those things where even she was thinking, you know, life goes downhill after 30, you know. But she was starting to number her days. And I tell my children all the time that, you know, man, every year it's going to speed up for you. You know, as I prepare Preston for his senior year, this he's going to start school back his senior year. I'm like, man, son, I just took you to preschool yesterday. What are you doing preparing for your senior year? I cannot comprehend this. I do not comprehend this. This makes no sense to me. I just dropped this kid off at preschool, and now he's going into his senior year. He's getting older, and I'm standing still. I'm not aging, but he's growing up before my eyes, right? Right, yeah. Anyway, but just like that, our life is so fast. What are we investing it in? Let me ask you this question. If you knew this was going to be your last year to live your life before God called you home, what would you do different? What are the things you would add to your life? What are the things you would subtract from your life? What would be the things that become a priority in your life? I can guarantee you that everyone in this room, if we knew this was going to be our last year, we were like, man, I'm going to grow closer to God than I've ever gone before. Man, I want to invest in the kingdom of God. I want to make sure my friends, my family know the importance of a relationship with Jesus. I would give my life for that, Pastor. I would forgive those that maybe I've been holding bitterness toward, and I would speak to those I haven't spoke to in a few years. I would stop doing some of the things that really don't matter, and I would invest my time and energy into the things that really do. We would all have that assessment. And that's the way. Going all in is assessing your life and making those changes. So how do we do that? Well, you do that when you live a life on purpose, a life of purpose. Live your life of purpose for your job, your family, your relationships. You're living a life that says, everything I do as unto the Lord. All in, right? In word and actions, I do all in unto Jesus. I approach my job as unto Jesus. I approach my family as unto Jesus. I approach my relationships as unto Jesus. What do I do? My words, my actions, may they make a eternal investment in the kingdom of God. I know a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge. I know a lot of people who have a lot of wisdom. And there's a big difference. Some people I know have got a lot of knowledge. And knowledge is a collection of great information. You get all this knowledge, you're collecting all this information. But just because you have a lot of knowledge doesn't mean you're a wise person. Doesn't mean you act in wisdom. No, wisdom is taking that knowledge you've received and applying it to your life. I can have all the knowledge of the benefits of a relationship with God and putting Him first, but if I don't apply it to my life, I'm not walking in wisdom, right? I'm walking in knowledge. So many of you got a lot of knowledge, but you're not walking very wise. You've been collecting. Your phone is full of notes from sermons you've heard week in, week out. And you've collected all this knowledge, but it's not transferring to being a wisdom until you begin to apply it to your life. See, going all in says, I want to make today count. I want to apply it to my life. So how do we do that? First things to do is we put first things first. We must put first things first in our life. Making everyday count, you got to keep the first thing the first thing. Putting the first things first in your life. I love what God told Elijah when he said, meet me at the mountain. We see the story begin to unfold in 1 Kings 19. Let me read verses 11 and 12 of the story, and then I'll tell you more about it. And the Lord told Elijah, he said, go out to the mountain and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. So God gives Elijah instructions to go out to the mountain. Now, we see in Scripture where the mountain is always symbolic where the Lord is going to meet us, the presence of God. Remember, He met God on the mountain. He met Abraham on the mountain. He met Moses on the mountain. He met Elijah on the mountain. So we see that these mountaintop experiences as places where God chose to meet and to reveal His voice to many men in the Bible. And what we see happening here is He goes and it says that all of a sudden the wind picked up. And the wind blew so hard on the mountain. And Elijah was embracing himself for the Lord to speak through the wind. Because the wind started blowing so strong, it says that even the rocks began to crumble on the mountain. Because the wind was blowing so strong. But God didn't speak until the wind had let up. And then it says God spoke in a small, still voice. And then it said an earthquake happened and began to shake the ground. And Elijah was like, all right, God, you're going to speak through the earthquake. And the earthquake happens, and then it stops, and God never spoke. And then it says, then God spoke in a small, still voice. And we see all these things happening that Elijah thought God was going to speak through, and God didn't speak. What He did in return was He spoke in the small, still voice, which is what I believe today that He's trying to relate to you and I, is that sometimes we see the voice of the God coming in the Ten Commandments or audibly in the sky, and we think that's how God's going to speak to us. But while He really wants to meet us, He wants you and I to find ourselves our spiritual mountain where God can speak to us, where God can find ourselves. We should get up every day and say, God, I'm going to the mountain today. I want to be in Your presence today, God. I want to find myself in a spiritual mountain somewhere, whether it's my car, whether it's my prayer closet, whether it's the kitchen table, wherever it is. But God, I got to find myself in Your presence, and I want to hear Your still, small voice leading my life. That's why over the last few weeks, I've been asking you to pray that prayer. Get up and say, Holy Spirit, Help me today. Lead me today to put my faith into action. I can become your hands and feet. And so many of you tell me that you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit as He's leading you to minister to so many people because you're simply asking that prayer and He's leading you and you're making an impact and you're touching people's lives because the Holy Spirit is giving you insight every day because that's how He speaks to us. But what we see happening now, let me just tell you, the dangerous trend in the church and society today is this, is we listen to the loudest voice. The winds are blowing. Society's winds are blowing, and we listen to that because it's the loudest voice. It's the loudest thing blowing. Let me use, for example, I'm not trying to single one thing out today, but I believe it's very relevant, and you'll understand where I'm going as I unfold it for you. We see this thing now where all of a sudden transgender is being celebrated because one person, a celebrity, comes out, decides he doesn't want to be a man. He's always been called to be a woman. And so he goes through a surgery to make himself from a man to a woman. And now we're celebrating him. And everybody's like, oh, yeah. Oh, what a brave thing. Oh, yeah. And ratings are going up on news shows and talk shows and all these shows because we got transgender going on. Well, let's just keep blowing that wind. Yeah? This is good. We should accept this. And now we got awards going out and making these people a hero. They're not a hero. They're confused. They need Jesus. They need deep counseling. They're not a hero, but the voice of society is saying, hey, let's make them a hero. Yay, they're coming out. Stand. No, no, no. They need Jesus. Well, listen, if a transgender walks in here today, you know I would be the first one to hug their neck and to welcome them and to show them the love of Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is society now is blowing this window. You are celebrated. Let's make a hero out of it. And we're like, yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah. And we're losing the fact that this person is lost and needs Jesus. They're confused. They need Jesus. The enemy has tricked their mind. But the winds of society are blowing so loud that we're like, oh, yeah, this must be okay. I had a pastor friend of mine the other day ask me this question. He said, hey, I don't know what to do. He goes, I got a person coming to my church. They were a man, and then they had a transgender surgery, and now they're turned into female, and then they started coming to our church, and they got saved. And after they got saved, they realized that they made a big mistake. And they realized that they were not finding the answers by having a sex change surgery. What they needed was Jesus. And once they got Jesus, they realized that's what I was missing. That's what I needed in my life. I needed Jesus in my life. And so now this person's like, what do I do? I've had surgery to change. I've been saved. So do I live my life as a man or a woman now? He's like, what do I tell him, Gene? I said, you better call Dr. Phil. I don't know. That's beyond my pay grade. I'm sorry. I know you think I'm smart, but I don't have all the answers. here's some people to call, some better people than me that maybe answer that question. But are you seeing me? We don't celebrate. But the voice of the society is telling us to. You see, because let's look what Scripture says. Look at this next verse here. 2 Timothy 4:3-4 makes it very clear. It says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will listen to what? Doctrine to suit their own desires. Wow. That's what we're living at. The time is now where we don't listen to sound doctrine, what's always been the Word of God not changing, being the foundation of how we steward our life. But instead, we follow whatever's doctrine's being sounded off the loudest. Oh, that must be okay because society, everybody's accepting it. Everybody's celebrating it. So it must be okay. And the church better catch up if it's going to be relevant. No, 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 no. I keep first things first. All in says I stay first, the first. The kingdom of God will not change. The foundation of Scripture does not change. And I don't change my values according to the sound of the wind, but I get still and I hear the voice of the Lord speaking. Every day in my life, I make sure I stay focused in. First things first, I need to hear God's voice. Stay true to the word of the Lord. Stay true. Listen, if you look long enough, you'll find somebody, some church, to agree with your sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, I just love Pastor Gene. Come on now. If you look long enough or hard enough, you'll find somebody accepting sin, you know? And you know that we give grace here, man. We believe in grace, but we're not bound by anything in our past. We're all sinners come short of the glory of God, okay? But we never stray from the fact that the Bible is the compass, is the foundation which we live our life. First things first. All in. First things first. I don't sway from what Scripture says and the way I should live my life as a Christian. No matter how strong the winds blow of society. What else? Going all in every day, I give focus and energy to the things that really matter. I give my focus and energy to the things that really matter. As I was talking about earlier, I give my focus and energy sometimes to things that really don't matter. You've heard me say this before, maybe in a while back. I want to use this illustration again. We talk about eternity. If we had a blackbird that took one grain of sand from the Florida, all the beaches of Florida, and by one grain at a time, he flew each sand, each little pebble of sand, one at a time. He flew it all the way to the beaches of California, came back and got the next one, and did that until he got every grain of sand off every beach in Florida and transferred it to the beaches in California. When he completed that task, that time would have just begun. We can't even comprehend what eternity is. I mean, eternity is just that. Our lives are just that in eternity. But yet we live our life for this, and we give no priority to eternity. You see, All In says, you know what? Eternity is the most important thing. This is what's going to last. Who am I taking with me to eternity? What am I doing to advance the kingdom of God for eternity? What am I doing to live my life to not only ensure that I'm in eternity, but am I making sure that I bring people with me to eternity? And I'm advancing the kingdom of God. What am I doing to show God's grace and to teach God's grace and to show his love and to be in my words and in my actions? All in. All in representing Jesus for eternity. I'm making a difference. See, how do we do that? Well, turn your when into now. And turn your intentions into actions. This is how we do this. We turn your when into now. Turn your intentions into actions. This, you know, turn your when into now. It's kind of like when we say, you know, when I'm financially stable enough, we'll have children. Pastor TJ and Courtney, congratulations on your news. Yeah, we're excited about that. I told him, I said, you'll never be ready. But you just have to go for it. At some point, you just go for it and say, all right. Because you can plan all you want to. But when they send that screaming baby home with you and the nurses are not there, reality hits. Diapers are expensive. Formula is expensive. Losing sleep costs you something. You're never ready, right? You just kind of grow with it. And if you don't do it, you'll never say, I'm ready. You know, it doesn't happen. And we got to stop saying when and turn it into now. When I get next year, Pastor, next year, man, my family, we believe everything you're teaching. Next year, we're going all in. We're changing our schedule around. We're going to serve. We're going to get involved in the children's ministry. We're going to get involved in the youth ministry. We're going to get involved in the men's ministry and the women's. We're going to get involved in outreach, and we're going to help serve, and we're going all in. Next year, we are going all in. And the next year passes, you're like, well, maybe next year our schedule is going to slow down. And then next year, and you look back and you've wasted decades because your when never became now. It makes about as much sense as saying, you know what? When I get a raise, I'm going to start giving to the Lord. But we won't give a dollar of the 10 we have now, and we think we're going to give $100 of $1,000. It doesn't make a difference. You know, if you don't start now, you'll never get there. And the time to go all in is now. The time to sell out is now. The time to give your life for eternity is now. The time to make the kingdom investment is now. The time is now. Turn to your neighbor and say, the time is now. Turn your intentions into actions. I was intending on doing this. No, do it. Turn it into actions. Quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. Go for it. Come on. Let's do it. Quit being the one that's dragging everybody down. Quit being the one sheep who's out there. No, get in now. I'm a bad sheep. Well, welcome. You can join the rest of the bad sheep in the group. And we'll be bad together. But let's go forward. Come on now. Let's do something. Let's go forward. See, making everyday count says not just on Sunday, but on Monday I want to hear God's voice. On Tuesday I want to be his hands and feet. On Wednesday I want to grow closer to him. On Thursday, number three, getting yourself an all-in every day means you turn all of my heart toward Jesus. I turn all of my heart toward Jesus. I love what Hebrews says in the first part of 12:2. It says, we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author, the pioneer, the perfecter, the writer of our faith. Fixing our eyes. Not taking our eyes off of eternity. Not taking our eyes. Listen, you're going to be distracted. You're going to be distracted. It's going to happen. You're going to be distracted. But you got to fix your eyes. Stop waiting. Well, when I stop. No, now is the time. Fix your eyes on Jesus every day. Fix your eyes on his word every day. I challenge you, what would your life transform if you would read one chapter a day? Fixing my eyes on the word of the Lord and let it transfer me and change me from the inside out. Well, I'm going to, Pastor, next year. As soon as I finish my favorite book, I'm on the last book of the series. Put it in the restroom. Somewhere you visit at least once a day. That tip didn't cost you anything. All right. But keep it every day. What would happen if every day I would just take a nugget of the scripture and put it into my heart and let it come alive, fixing my eyes upon Jesus. The wind's blowing strong from everybody else, but I don't listen to that. God, I keep my eyes fixed on you. That's going all in. Every day. Every day. God, I'm fixing my eyes. Some of you say, Pastor, man, I try to read the Bible, but I just fall asleep. Great. You know why? Because there is peace in the word of the Lord. Some of you have a hard time going to sleep. You've been taking melatonin, Tylenol PM, giving your kids NyQuil. Come on now. That parenting tip didn't cost you anything. Okay. You have a hard time sleeping at night? I challenge you. Just open up the word of the Lord. Read what Proverbs and Psalms has to say. Read what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look what Paul wrote to us in our life. Man, awesome instruction on how we live and have been made free and wisdom. And when I read it, you know what happens? The peace of the Lord rules my heart. There's a reason why you fall asleep when you're reading scripture, because you're putting in the peace of the Lord. And when you're feeling peace, your mind begins to settle down, your heart begins to settle down, and you just feel comfortable and you fall asleep. It happens. I'm telling you. Let's fix our eyes upon Jesus. Going all in every day of my life. As we close today, I want to show you this picture about going all in. I saw this picture on the internet last week, and I posted it to one of my son's page, and I was talking about how that he and I have talked a lot about our approach to things. And when you set goals in your life, when it comes to certain things and achievements, that it's the person who hustles when nobody's watching.
when the coaches aren't watching? How do you respond? When the coaches aren't watching, how do you lift your weights? You know, because if you ever have weight class with football players, this is what happens. They're all working out, and as soon as the coach walks out of the room, they're like, oh, you know. When the coach is not looking, instead of doing the lifting all the way, they take the weights and they just rattle them. One, two, one, two, three, one, two, three, one. They ain't doing nothing. Just shaking and making noise. You've always got those kind of players. They're always looking to take the short way out. And so my son and I were talking, and I was like, you know, you can do that. You're going to see guys doing that. But to achieve the goals, to get the most out of it, you're going to have to set your mind that no matter when the coach is watching or when he's not watching, you're going to give your all. Pay the price. Go it all. I told my son, he was getting ready to go out for junior high. I was like, man, there's 70 kids coming out. It's about three coaches. If you don't step to the front. As a coach, many times when we're practicing kids and we run them up downfield, you know, across the line. And I have one. You always have one or two that they stop short. We'll touch that line and come back, you know. They stop about this bit short, thinking you won't notice. And when they do, I say, all right, we're all going to run together because so-and-so decided they were going to cut it short. Oh, man. Why? Because I know they'll cut it short in practice. They'll take plays off during the game. It affects the team. See, I thought about this as I was showing my son this week because this kind of illustrates what I'm talking about. Just go the distance. Pay the price for the things you want. It doesn't take much to be just to go a little harder than anybody else. And spiritually, I think this is the way we look at the church when we die. We got people who, they're here, and they're giving an effort, but they're just not quite going all in. And I want, in this series, we just say, I want to cross the line. I want to make sure that we're going all in, that I'm giving everything to God. I'm tired of just attending on Sundays and being partially in at times, but I'm ready to say, all day in my life, I want to learn to follow your voice. I want to learn to go all in. I want to make every day count. Every day, not just Sunday. I want to make every day count for the kingdom of God. We're going to change. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to prophesy to you. We're going to change. We will change a culture and spiritual vibe of the four-state area. We have people who are crossing the line on Monday when Pastor Gene's not watching. People on Thursday who cross that line when nobody's watching between the name of God. And they're paying the price. That's the teammates I want on my team. I'm going all in. How about you for that? Say, I'm ready to go all in, Pastor. I'm not going to be the one that hangs behind. Let's stand on our feet today. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I've been number one. I've been holding back. Today's a great day to say, Jesus, I am going all in. I give you all I have today. I give you everything today. We're going to close this song. It simply says, Amazing Grace. How many are thankful for God's amazing grace? He went all in for us.